The dreary dampness has returned to Washington. No, not just the weather. Congress is back from its Memorial Day recess. It's got a large and growing list of issues to deal with. So what it does indicates what it won't do. Joining me with the outlook for the opening of a long summer, Roll Call Senior Editor David Hawkins. And David, they do have a big agenda. They're back. What do you see immediately on the horizon?
You're right, they're back. This is actually the longest stretch of the year when they are in session. They're in session 7 of the next 8 weeks. They take July 4th week off, but other than that, they're here till the end of July. But it is mostly playing catch-up so they can run in place. What I mean by that is the budget process, which is always delayed at the start of a new administration, is more delayed than ever. And this is a week when, as far as policy goes, a lot of what's happening are the sort of budget hearings, appropriations hearings, agency oversight hearings that usually happen in February, March, and April are now happening in June, with some hope that they will help write an appropriations bill before too long, maybe even before the end of the fiscal year. Of course, the big agenda item is on Thursday, which is probably, you know, the most bit of must-see TV emanating from the Capitol since the inauguration, which would be the testimony of James Comey, the fired FBI director before Senate Intelligence.
All of this investigation and inquiry and special counsel work surrounding the Trump administration, is it distracting Congress from the day-to-day business of getting the legislation done it needs to keep the government going, really?
You know, I think the answer to that is no, because, well, you said the way you finished the question was to keep the government going. You know, I'd still say no. I would say that the appropriators and the regular, the routine stuff, the reason that's behind schedule really has to do with the fact that the Trump administration made its budget proposal later than ever, and it is a budget proposal that is so dramatic in its idea of boosting defense spending 10% and cutting everything else 10%, that it's a dead letter. It's even more of a dead letter in a Congress of the president's own party than usual. And that's why that's delayed. As to why sort of the things that make headlines, I wouldn't call those delayed. I'd call those stuck. I think health care is stuck in the Senate. I think that the president who wants a tax cut and Speaker Ryan who wants a tax simplification can't even agree on what the bottom line of that tax bill should look like. This is supposed to be so-called infrastructure week, where the president is supposed to lay out his big ideas for spending $1 trillion on infrastructure in the next few years. That may include reviving his discussion of the famous wall along the Mexican border. But, you know, that's pretty well stuck as well. So it is easier for all this investigatory stuff to fill the void when there's not much going on. But I wouldn't say that this investigatory agenda has impeded Congress's ability to do things. Congress is just stuck.
And in between the Senate bill version of what they're considering for the American Health Care Act and the House version that passed, there's a big chasm there. And now senators are coming back and saying, well, we're not sure we've got anything that can pass either.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's an extremely narrow window. I guess the way to explain it simply is they need 50 votes plus Mike Pence to break a tie. And that means they have 52 votes, which means they can only lose two of their own, because there's no Democrat who's going to vote for anything, any repeal and replace bill. So they can only lose two of their own. And every time they try and push things to appeal to the super conservatives on the far right, they lose at least as many of the centrists, moderates from bigger states with Medicare, big Medicare expenses that don't want that stuff to be cut. So it's a very, very difficult sweet spot to find, if there is a sweet spot. And I think there's a chance that there simply aren't 50 Republican votes to pass anything in the Senate at the moment.
We're speaking with Roll Call Senior Editor David Hawkins. And a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned this Representative Tom Graves, a relatively newcomer in the Appropriations Committee in the House, offering some kind of a summertime omnibus Hail Mary type of bill. Anything developing on that one?
I think that is still bubbling along behind the scenes. Since the last time we spoke, I guess I have become more convinced that if it does happen, it will be more of a political messaging bill than a real bill. It would be a chance for the Republicans only to try and come together. And this is not an easy task, to get the Republicans only to come together on a budget, on a massive 12, rather than the 12 individual appropriations bills, to apportion this $1 trillion in money that Congress gets to appropriate every year. The Republicans really can't figure out for themselves not just the priorities, but how much to spend. Sequester and all those budget limitations from years gone by should mean in law that the total amount of spending is a tiny bit less than what's being spent this year. That is a practical impossibility, again, to find even Republican votes to pass appropriations bills at that low spending number is a virtual impossibility. So, long way of answering your question, which is this guy Tom Graves, he's a fourth termer from Missouri. He is now the chairman of one of these 12 appropriations subcommittees, the subcommittee that handles the Treasury, the White House, and a bunch of regulatory agencies. His idea is, you know, rather than perpetuate this fiction that Congress is going to pass 12 bills in a row, let's just write one, let's have all of these subcommittees write their bills, cobble them all together as a messaging statement for the Republicans to pass and at least sort of jumpstart the process that way. It would definitely be, if they do it that way, by which I mean with no Democratic input, with no effort to try and come up with a more practically, politically sound number that could pass, it'll just be a messaging bill, but at least it would get the process started.
And what of this infrastructure plan that the president talked about as far back as the campaign and mentioned it briefly, I think, during his inauguration speech? Is this something that we know he has vetted with anybody in Congress at this point?
There has been some vetting in Congress. Yes, there has. There is some interest among the people who do public works. There's sort of public work, a tiny subset of Republicans called sort of public works Republicans who believe in smaller government, except when the government might be put to work, repaving a road or building a bridge or improving a railroad track in their district. There's a certain number of those. I think they're more than offset by pure fiscal conservatives who think that their Congress has no business right now. The government should not be spending $1 trillion on public works, even if they can come up with some creative ways to finance it. Nobody is discussing creative ways of financing all of it, so there would be more deficit spending in the end. And that is anathema to many Republicans. Democrats love it. This is the one big idea that President Trump has had that really could be a bipartisan thing. The question is whether there are enough super conservative Republicans to stop it.
That raises an interesting question, too, because if there are alternative ways of funding it, it seems like that's something states and locales could do on their own if it means going to the private sector or some kind of bond investor arrangement.
That is true. They were right. So many states and localities have the ability to issue public bonds to do this stuff. And so it's a good question about whether this infrastructure bank, which has been an idea that has been percolating for several years, that's actually much of it is the handiwork of Maryland's own Congressman John Delaney, has been sort of a player on this. You are right that it does beg the question about if the federal government should be doing this or if sort of the low C conservative Republicans would say this should not be a federal thing, this should be a state and local thing.
David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. Sounds like a confusing but interesting week ahead. We'll have to be following it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Find a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.